You're listening to Inside CHSL, the official podcast of the Detroit Catholic High School League. Inside CHSL is proudly sponsored by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Here are your hosts, Brendan Johnson and Jeremy Otto.
You're listening to Inside CHSL, the official podcast of the Detroit Catholic High School League. It's a cold February afternoon. You wouldn't know it with the sun shining outside, but it is freezing cold temperatures as we continue through this winter season. But we do have some Catholic League champions that have recently been crowned, that are on their way to being crowned. We have state tournaments that are beginning for our winter sports as well. It's already that time. It's already considered mid to late February. Where has the time went? Where has this winter season went? Doesn't feel like that long ago. We were talking about our fall sports kicking off the winter season, but here we are as the league tournaments and state tournaments are, well, concluding, beginning, depending what you're talking about, which sport you're talking about. Here with our winter season. So as we get into the podcast, again, this is your host, Brendan Johnson. Jeremy Otto on with us as well this week. He's got a couple of great guests that will be joining him here on the podcast, and we'll kind of introduce them here in just a second as we get started with our CHSL Rewind, to look at last week. And a lot happened. A lot of great champions crowned, a lot of great games, and great memories that are made for a long, long time for our athletes across the Catholic High School League. Before we dive into the rewind, of course, make sure you follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at @inside_CHSL, and the Catholic High School League at CHSL1926. You'll find all this information there, CHSL.com. The website for the Catholic High School League, also a great resource to get all of the latest happenings. And click that subscribe button wherever platform you're listening on today. If you click that subscribe button, that will get you all of the latest updates from Inside CHSL. But now let's take a look at our CHSL Rewind. We start with girls basketball. It kicked off championship weekend, which had some snow and delays. And Friday night, though, Valentine's Day, it started with the girls Bishop Division. And Father Gabriel Richard of Ann Arbor defeated Notre Dame Academy 48-31. We knew that would be a good game. Father Gabriel Richard extended to their largest lead of the game late in the fourth quarter, a 19-point victory. And the great season for Father Gabriel Richard continues. They now will start to gear up for the state tournament. We'll see how that goes, because we expect them to make a deep run and to be playing at the Breslin Center as we get into March. Friday night continued with the Bishop Division Championship for the boys, and that was a thriller down to the wire. U of D Jesuit takes a lead with under a minute to go in the fourth quarter. St. Mary's takes the lead back with under 30 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. U of D Jesuit has a chance to win at the buzzer. The shot doesn't go. Orchard Lake St. Mary's with a narrow victory to capture the Bishop Division Championship, an instant classic at Callahan Hall. Now, the Cardinal Division and St. Anne Division Championships. If you listened last week to the preview, we talked about those being on Saturday the 15th. They got pushed back to Sunday the 16th because of the snowstorm that came in. And even though we got snow on both days, all worked out. The games were played and two champions were crowned. The first game was the St. Anne's Division. A great first half where Liggett, the underdog in the matchup, was in control, hitting shots, had all of the momentum, but Everest proved to be the strong team that everybody has seen them be all year long, a team that won their division, a team that's expected to make a run in the Division IV state tournament, and they capture the St. Anne's Division Championship. Then the second game of the day on Sunday featured a rematch of last year's Cardinal Division Championship. It was Gabriel Richard Riverview versus Jackson Lumen Christie. And for the second year in a row, the Pioneers of Riverview Gabriel Richard knock off Jackson Lumen Christie. This year's final score, 82-48. And Jeremy has Coach Dyack from Gabriel Richard to talk more about that victory now. Jeremy, take it away.
All right, here with Chris Dyack, the head coach of Gabriel Richard Riverview. Chris, obviously, another exciting championship for you guys. Wasn't as close as some of the ones in the past, but they're always fun, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anytime you get a chance to play in the championship and play down at Callahan Hall, win or lose, it's an accomplishment.
Does it help, though, that it's a little bit been there, done that for some of these guys in terms of playing in the big atmosphere?
Yeah, I think last year, those guys winning their first one, we'd played as they played there as sophomores. We lost to Loyola. And then last year, I think it was a little bit more exciting. And I think it was a little bit of a different buildup. We'd played Lumen Christi last year, lost at their place. So there was a little bit of a revenge factor in there. And getting your first one, I mean, those guys, for them, their first one, I think there was a little bit more excitement. But no, anytime you get to go down there, like I said, that's success in itself.
What's kind of allowed the program to take that next step?
I think it's been a gradual build. A lot of people point at these guys, this group. It's definitely a special group, but a lot of people point that we've had some success over the last, whatever, 10 years, and winning league titles, winning districts, what have you. But this group is just, it's a little bit different. They play so well together. Their IQ is so high. But I think the biggest thing for us was the level of talent. I mean, obviously we got some really, really good kids, really good players. They love basketball. In years past, we've had to play with football players, soccer players. Being a small school, we rely on a lot of kids to play a lot of sports. And I think this is kind of the first time that we've really had basketball players in the programs. Their level of intelligence and their skill level and playing in the summer. I mean, they play all year round. I think that's really taken us to the now. And I'm hoping that we'll continue to attract some better players, rely on soccer players or what have you. And there's nothing wrong with them, don't get me wrong. But when you have basketball players and kids that play at a high level, you can run a lot of stuff. You can do a lot of things, and it's been very enjoyable.
And you kind of look up and down your roster and just where these guys are going. I mean, the colleges are taking notice at this point too.
Yeah, it's something that I think people, there's a little bit of a misconception. I think some of the smaller schools, you look at some of the level of talent that you play, but we've got two kids going to Air Force. One football player is going to Air Force and a wrestler going to Air Force. Our basketball players, we've got two Division II kids going, a couple Division III kids going. I mean, with that little bit of that misconception that, a Division VII or a Division VIII or a Division III basketball team can't produce high talent, I think we're starting to prove a lot of people. Or no, I don't want to say proving a lot of people, telling a lot of people that we can produce some pretty good athletes out here.
Looking at some of your individual guys, Luke Westerdale is obviously somebody that makes you tick. He's heading to the GLIAC next year as well. What makes him so good?
A high level IQ. I mean, obviously he's a tremendous shooter. He's got to be one of the state's best shooters. Tremendous leader. It's funny because he could probably put up over 20 points a night, and he does, but he really, really gets us into things. He gets us going. He runs our transition, and again, just a high level IQ kid. And he's now starting to distribute the ball quite a bit. We moved him to the point, I think about five games into his sophomore year, he was a little hesitant with it because he wants to score. He's got a scorer's mentality, but we made that move, and it's just been, I mean, we've gone skyrocketing with him. I think when we did it, we might have been 3-1, 3-2, kind of squeaking games out. Now that he's, we've put the ball in his hands, he makes us go. And he's just, like I said, such a high level IQ. When we sit down and talk stats or go over game plans, he sits there with us, and he gives us a lot of pointers and gives us his input, and it's very good. A lot of times we'll take what he wants to do and try to implement that. But yeah, he's just he's kept us going.
And Charles, the guy that's going to compete against him in the GLIAC as
Yeah.
well at Saginaw Valley, what does he bring to you?
I tell you, Charles is such a great kid. Very unselfish. You watch him, he'd rather pass the ball than score. And he's a great communicator. We made him a captain this year. It was well deserved on his end, but he's just kind of a vocal leader. And he's very kind. And he does a he's another one that could score 20 points, but I think he's second or third on the team in assists.
And you have some other guys that are playing college sports, but for other, sports as well. A lot have heard about the Sobishes from the football side of things. Does that help, just
Oh
for
yeah.
their communication on the basketball floor as well?
Yes, I mean Nick had 26 last night. I mean just an unbelievable score. He can shoot the ball. Some of the threes he hit last night. One guy tweeted, said it's from the parking lot. He hit one beyond the college 3-point line, probably about 3 4 feet beyond it, and a just tremendous score. It's funny because I talked to a lot of Division I coaches asking, where do you see him? Where's the level? And they said, well, if he was 6'4", he'd be with us. And it's funny because he's a very quiet kid. He's an elite defender. I mean, we can put him on somebody that's 6'5", and he can shut them down. And we can put him on lightning quick guard. He'll shut him down. He played very well last night against Tropia from Lumen Christi. And the Tropia hit some bombs. That kid had 17, 18 on him. And Nick was more upset with himself that he scored those. And I said, look, he's hitting them from 23, 24 feet, man. You gotta let that go. But he's just such a competitor and an elite scorer. And he's 5'10". He's good. He's on his way to Siena Heights. He's gonna play there. He had a lot of college offers, and he chose Siena Heights.
And when you look at, this week coming up, kind of a bye week, if you will, heading into the state tournament, is that good for your team or bad, do you think?
I think it's good. I think it's going to give us a chance to fine-tune some things. We're going to work a little bit defensively, getting ourselves into a new defense that we've used late in the season. I don't want to say new, something that's a little bit more extended, a little bit more controlling, trying to control the offense. But that's going to be something that we're going to work on. We'll put a couple things in offensively, but this is going to give us a chance to start. Looking at the district, finding the teams that we're going to play, and then kind of peek ahead at in the region. Not something that we do typically is try to look ahead. I am definitely let's have a great practice the next day. We've got a shoot around today at around noon for the kids, and we're just going to hope to have a good shoot around. But it gives us a chance just to take a breath. It's been a long season. You got to remember these guys played in the state football championship. So being able to get a break, letting them get their legs back a little bit, I think is important for us.
Yeah, I mean, does that make it a little easier to kind of accomplish your goals as well? They were already playing at such a high level and chasing those Ford Field dreams. Now they trace Breslin genes, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was a good problem to have. There's no question of that. We had scheduled Grand Blanc the day after the state championship. And we played that at Saginaw Valley, and and Sobush kids, and there were a handful of kids, three or four kids that had to come out and play basketball. They didn't know anything. I mean, they didn't know any of the sets that were running, and we were just kind of using that as like a conditioning game just to get our kids going. And at half, we were winning. I said, "Holy cow!" I mean, we're up 5 points to Grand Blanc, who's whatever the largest school and one of the largest schools in the state. But yeah, now it gives us a chance to get a break, get a little bit of a breath, even though it's been 3 months since that's transpired. But yeah, it's just I think this is a good chance for us to get some things in, work on some stuff, and then head into the playoffs.
What's the biggest key, I guess, to making the run that you want to?
Defense. Again, since I got here, that's always been our kind of our motto. If we can, keep people to one shot and rebound the basketball, it gives us a chance. I think you can have an off shooting night, right? You can You can go over from the three-point line, but you can't have an off defensive night. And so that's one of the things that we preach, and we've been preaching for whatever the last 15 years here. Just play hard defense, play tough defense, and that'll keep us in games.
Well, we appreciate your time today. Best of luck going forward, and we'll certainly be watching your team.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, and hopefully we'll see you down the road.
Yeah, sounds good. That's Chris Dyack, the head coach of Gabriel Richard Riverview. They start the state playoffs next year, or next week, I should say, at eCourse. More inside CHSL after this.
When you choose where to bank, do Catholic schools benefit? When you choose Alliance Catholic Credit Union, they do. Do business with a business that cares about the Catholic community. Join Alliance Catholic Credit Union today. Apply online in minutes at alliancecatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of the Catholic High School League.
And continuing now with our CHSL Rewind, we'll take a look at the bowling championships for both the boys and the girls and a look at the final results. We'll start with a look at the boys' Bishop Championship. Taking first was De La Salle with a final score of 25-66. Coming in second was St. Mary's with a 23-24 score. And rounding out the top three was Catholic Central with a 22-89 score. On the girls' side of the Bishop division, it was Divine Child who came away with the first place finish with a 2-2-2-2. 22-22 score for Divine Child to capture the Girls Bishop Championship. In second place was Mercy with 2,075. Third place was Regina with 1,749. Taking a look at the Cardinal Division Championship, it was Lumen Christi who captured the Boys Cardinal Championship 24-42, their overall score. Taking second was Riverview Gabriel Richard 22-37, being their score. And close behind them was Cabrini in third 22-32. Speaking of Cabrini, in the Girls Cardinal Championship, it was Cabrini who finished with a 21-97 to capture that title. Coming in second was Bishop Foley with a 21-23, and in third was Lumen Christi with a 19-43. And those are a look at your top performers from the bowling championships of this past weekend. And Jeremy Otto's got another guest with him. It's Cabrini's bowling coach, the boys who finished third, the girls who finished first. Coach Joseph Cernai is with Jeremy Otto now. Jeremy, I'll send it to you.
Well, here with Coach, and obviously your team celebrated a success not too long ago. What was that like for you guys?
It was good. You know, last year they were very happy. They were excited. You know, they've been working hard. Last year they were runner-up. And, you know, I told them, I said, you guys bowled good. You know, you just got to work harder, you know, get better, practice. And that's what they did, and they came out, and they bowled great. I mean, I couldn't be more proud of them. My assistant coach, Christy Downham, she's a big deal with the girls. She helps keep them in check, and, you know, works with them very closely. Like I said, you know, I do both the boys and girls, so I got two assistants. So I rely on them more to help with the girls and the boys than I try and do both. And it's kind of hard going back and forth, but I'm doing my best, but it's good to see them. You know, they all get along, you know, they root each other on. It's just a cool experience. This is a really, really good team.
You know, what are some of the qualities, I guess, that, you know, led up to this moment, I guess?
Well, some of the, you know, they have team spirit, you know, they cheer each other on. They tell each other, you know, what they have to do. They're all like sisters in a kind of way that, you know, they'll be like, hey, you got to move this or you got to move that, you know, do what coach tells you to do, you know, work with them is real easy. You know, they listen, they, you know, that's the thing, you know, if you want to learn, you have to listen. It's just like school. You're being taught something. So you have to do what you're being taught, and they do what they're told to do. And, you know, that makes them a better bowler. They learn that how their balls work. You know, they're just all around. You know, they get it. They understand that they need to listen, and and work for what they got. You know, they all, you know, practice. They none of them never miss practices. You know, they, you know, they're dedicated. You know, they really want to bowl good, and that's what they did.
And I guess for those that don't know, is there much of a difference between the boys and the girls sport?
Yeah, I think it's really not much. It's not much of a difference. The boys, you know, they're tougher on themselves. You know, they want to be, you know, better. They work on it. You know, it's more competition, I think, on the boys' side, because, you know, boys want to be better than other boys. You know, they want to be better than other teams. But I try to let them know that, you know, it's bowling. You know, if you bowl bad, on the end of the road, everybody doesn't have a good day. You know, you're going to have an off day. So, you know, it's pretty much equal sides on the bowling part between the boys and the girls. So,
and kind of looking at some of your athletes as well, obviously you got some stars on the girls' side. You know, tell us what you like about Courtney Donham. What does she do well?
Courtney, she does well. She bowls good. You know, she always hits her mark most of the time. I mean, she takes criticism very well. You know, she listens. She understands the game. She bowls all the time. She bowls junior golds and all that. So she bowls all year round. Those kind of bowlers that bowl all year round are going to be more successful in bowling with high schools and stuff like that than the bowlers that come half, three quarters of my teams are all, they just bowl for school and that's it. I have a couple bowlers on the girls like Courtney and Morgan. They bowl outside of school and the rest of them don't. And then on the boys' side, I got Bryce, who bowls outside of school, but the rest of the boys don't. They only bowl during school season. So I try to, you know, let them know that you need to get to a league in the summer or in the fall. You know, because the more you bowl, the better you're going to get. That's what I'm trying to teach them. It's not like you can come out 2 days a week for a certain amount of months and you're going to be a great bowler. It takes time. It's a process. There's a lot of learning. A lot of patience, you know, but.
Hey, you talked about Bryce. He was a guy that obviously had a lot of success, you know, going into the state tournament last year. What's the key
right.
for this year heading into that direction?
For Bryce, the key for Bryce, I think, is he needs to be more aware of his ball changes. Last year, he made a ball change, which he kind of said at the end that he shouldn't have made a ball change or should have went to a different ball. But, you know, he's focused this year. You know, we're trying to work on some things with him. And, you know, hopefully, you know, this year he does it and he becomes a state champion. That's what we're working towards. That's what I work towards with all my kids. You know, it's not just Bryce. It's not just Courtney. I'm trying to work with all these kids. I want all these kids to be successful. So, it's the reason why I do this, and you know, it's happy for me, and they're happy when they do it, when they bowl good. So that's what we work on, you know.
How many bowlers that you have are serious, you know, bowlers heading into, you know, their freshman or sophomore, whenever the first time they work with you? Or is it one of those sports that it's, you know, you can kind of get into and then again get better at respectively? I mean, how many, you know, have bowled all their life?
I think all their lives, I think I have maybe four bowlers that have bowled all their lives. Like I said, most of my bowlers are all, you know, school bowlers. They just bowl for high school and that's it. Or they recreational bowl. I don't, you know, like I said, I got Courtney, I got Bryce, I think Morgan. And then I have a freshman this year, Natalie Zorn. She bowls in the league. She's been bowling a long time. So those are like the key four that bowl all year round and bowl all the time. All the rest of them are, you know, high school bowlers or recreational bowlers, and that's it.
Well, you worked in a bowling alley for a long time growing up, certainly, as well. What's one thing that nobody knows about what it's like to – or behind the scenes of a bowling alley?
behind the scenes, it's a lot of work. Those machines have more parts than a car does. You know, it's when they break down, they break down. It's not an easy fix. Taking care of lanes is pretty intense and strenuous. Those machines have to be programmed a certain way to oil to where they need to be oiled. And then it all goes to the people that run the house. You got to have good people that run the house in order to have success. If they're not going to put the right oil out, or their machines aren't in good working order, you know, bad pins will cause bad scores. You know, there's a lot of things with bowling centers, you know, that a lot of people don't know. So, you know, it's, if you have old pins in there, they're not going to fly around and fall down like new pins do. New pins are like hitting the brick wall, and you can tell the difference the way the ball hits the pins with newer pins than you do with old pins. So there's a lot of things that go around with bowling centers, and, you know, the way they set up for tournaments and stuff like that, that they need to make sure that they have on point for them scores to come out. You know, if you're running a place not up to par, you're going to have lower scores than the place that runs the place above par.
And to me, I guess from the outside looking in, it seems like bowling hit kind of a boom around COVID. Would you say that that's accurate?
I don't know if COVID or bowling hit a boom around COVID. In my opinion, I think bowling is taking a hit. Last year, I had six boys try out for the bowling team, and six boys made a team, and I had eight girls, and that was it. This year I had nine boys come out and then eight girls. So I think it's starting to tick up now. A lot of the stuff needs to be is the CYO, you know, for Catholic schools. They really need to concentrate on the CYO. The CYO bowling programs is what's supplying your high school bowling programs. So those kids in CYO, that once they move into high school, they can move on to joining the high school, you know, teams and this and that. And a lot of, in my opinion, we need to do better at running the CYOs and bringing the CYOs up. Cabrini hasn't had a CYO team in a few years, CYO in a few years for bowling. I've already talked to AD Sarah Berdelli about bringing that back. I want to grow the game. You know, I want more kids. I should have 14 kids. I should have 14 boys, 14 girls every year. That's a varsity team and a JV team. That's what I would like to see from any school, not just our school. Every school should have that. That's the way it was, you know, pre-COVID. There was teams that had 14, 16 kids. You know, you can carry seven on a team everywhere you go. All tournaments, states, regionals, you know, league play. You know, like I said, last year I had six. I was one guy short. You know, that helps with, you know, somebody gets hurt or they run into grade issues or somebody's sick a day. You have somebody to take their place. When you don't have enough players, then you end up taking, you know, you get a zero, or, you know what I mean? I like to see the game grow more than what it is. I think it's dwindled a little bit. I mean, it's not hard, but it's come down. I see a lot of that in adult leagues too, where leagues are fading and getting smaller. You know, it's, I don't know if it's the economy or what it is, but I think it's taken a little bit of a hit.
And, you know, kind of lastly, I see that nice trophy behind you. What was it like to, you know, get that recognition just overall?
Oh, man, that was great. That was great. I mean, for me being my second year as a head coach, last year the girls won their division for state or regional for state, so they were regional champions. Last year they were runner-up in the Catholic League, and it was good to see that they – bowled this year, and they bowled better, and the results paid off for them. You know, they won it. You know, it's what we work towards. You know, just because you come in second one year doesn't mean you can't win it the next year. You know, if you put the work in and you practice and you concentrate and And that's what they did. They did what they had to do, and they won it this year. I'm hoping, you know, a repeat regionals this year for the girls. I'm hoping the boys make it this year. You know, we got two good teams. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen in the next couple weeks.
All right, Coach, we thank you for your time here today. Best of luck going forward, you know, accomplishing those state dreams, and congrats one more time on that title.
All right, thank you.
All right, back with more after this here on Inside CHSL.
EA Graphics has been serving the Catholic community with screen-printed and embroidered sportswear since 1974. EA Graphics is one of the largest hot market printers in the United States. We are excited to have them as the official championship apparel supplier of the Catholic League. Visit the CHSL EA Graphics website at chslegraphics.com.
And we wrap up this week's episode taking a look at the girls basketball Cardinal and St. Anne Division Championships, those to be played at Eastern Michigan on Saturday the 22nd. As we record, the semifinals are in progress, so we give you a preview of the semifinal games, and that will give you kind of a look at what we might be able to expect in the championship game. So first, in the Cardinal Division semifinals, you have Lutheran North and St. Catherine of Siena in the 5:30 game on February the 18th. And then following that is Shrine and Cabrini, that being the 7 o'clock game. Just a look back at last year, St. Mary's won the Cardinal Division. Of course, they played up this year. And Everest won the St. Anne Championships, just to give you a little bit of a look at that. Speaking of the St. Anne Championship, Everest plays at 5:30 versus Our Lady of the Lakes on February the 19th at 5:30 p.m. And then in the 7 o'clock game, Cranbrook takes on Liggett. You could have an Everest versus Liggett girls championship. Would be kind of funny, being that was also the boys St. Anne Championship matchup. So we'll see if those stars align and you get a girls, if you call it, rematch of what the boys matchup was just a weekend prior. We thank you so much for tuning in this week. Next week, we'll have full coverage of the girls basketball Catholic League championships for the Cardinal Division and St. Anne Division. Also, best of luck to our boys hockey players who are beginning the MHSAA tournament. That is set to begin this week. We'll surely have an update on how our teams are faring in the state tournament on next week's episode as well. That's going to do it for us, and we'll see you next time here on Inside CHSL.